You know, I wasn't sure what God wanted. I got a couple of things. We're not going to go over the rest of the Revelation study because a lot of you weren't here on Wednesday nights for that. And I just don't feel like going back over it. So I have the whole overview if anybody needs it, but mostly if you were here, you got it. But I did go back 2 years and I found this. This is called God's Chosen Rescue Team. It was back in January of 2016 that God came to us on a Wednesday night, and he asked that each one of us would give our thoughts, the thoughts he gave to us that night. And I was to pen them all down and gather them all together. And that when we work as a team, it was an experiment in unity. And when we work as a team, God can put all those puzzle pieces together. And it is so awesome, the message that that would bring. So he told me to gather those puzzle pieces from you as you brought them that night. I learned something else that night. Sometimes the peace we bring is silence, because sometimes God is silent. And that is the hardest peace to bring when you're chosen to be silent. And you don't, everybody else is saying, oh, God showed me this. Oh, God told me that. Here's what I'm believing. And you're going, I'm getting nothing. I'm the silent one tonight. And you're thinking, I wonder if others are looking at me and saying, why don't you join in? And I'm telling myself, what's wrong with me? How come God's not talking to me? But you know what? Even silence, because it's a refusal to fake it, a refusal to just try to fit, silence is obedience too. So, you know, we need to just be free, whether it's boldly getting up and saying what he says or silently being quiet when he's not speaking. But he wants unity. He wants us working together. So it was an experiment that night. And there's safety in teams. And all the pressure's not on one person. And there's a lot of confirmation of what God is saying and doing. So together we can be very powerful. And God is still trying to form us into that team. I want to share the message that came from that night, that came from everything all of you brought, and we put it together. Number one, you might want to just jot down a little note about each point, because this is some truth for this church, if you're part of that team. We will be God's team. Someday, we will finally be ready, and we will arrive at that appointed time. We will be that team for God. Number two. It has been a long, hard journey. There have been a lot of dry times. It's been like, someone that night explained it in what they saw in a vision, it's been like a long, slow ride through a desert on the back of a camel. You just can't gallop on a camel. I don't think. I mean, I don't know much about camels, but that was someone's vision that night. But because that camel is moving, we will get to our destination. Number three, in order to release the glory of God, we must be humbled into a childlike faith with an obedient heart. We must be free-spirited like children so that we're instantly ready and brave enough to move on what God's doing. So we must be childlike in faith and obedience. Number four, I believe we've experienced some of this. Number four, we will climb to new dimensions with God, where we'll be able to see far ahead and see from a different perspective, one that sees from the eyes of the heavenly realm, far above this earth. That's where we're going to stand with God and let his light shine through us like a lighthouse into this darkness. So we're going to be seeing from new perspectives, from a heavenly dimension. Number five, because of the darkness that's engulfing the land, watchmen will be anointed and positioned to see and to cry out the warnings and to tell us of the dangers, to recognize the enemy's plots. They will be empowered and they will cry out, danger, danger. And we need to learn to respect and hear them and take those warnings. The anointing of watchmen is going to increase. we need to recognize them, respect them, honor them. Number six, in order for this team to form and develop and be everything God wants us to be, we have to break the mirrors of our self-image. We have to break the mirrors of our self-image. We have to go beyond the limited way we're seeing ourselves. We have to see the true image of who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. Now, we're going to work on number six today. So we're going to come back to learning to see who you really are in Christ and who He is in you. Number seven, there's another mirror that needs to be shattered, and that's the one that all we see is ourselves. We need to break that mirror and start seeing others as they are in Christ, who they are, a greater respect for one another on the team so that we can depend on our brothers, honor our brothers, and hear them. Then we can gather these puzzle pieces together. We need to depend on the strength of those who have where we're weak. They have our strength where we're weak. And number eight, there is healing power that is going to come to and flow through this ministry. Right now we've seen very, very, very small touches of healing. But there is a great, complete outpouring of healing when the time is right, when we are unified as a team, and when our faith is strong and we know who we are, we're going to see great healing here. Number nine, prayer and the Word of God are the vessels that will transport us into the full release of this team. Prayer and the Word of God are what it's going to take. They are the only way to get there. We hold this little praying mantis picture. We still hold this little pregnant birthing of prayer in this church, of birthing what God wants to do. And it's only going to be birthed through prayer and through the Word of God. Number 10, God loves us with an everlasting, powerful, amazing love. And He will comfort us like a mother when we're hurt and grieving, because we're going to be under attacks and we're going to need that comfort. Number 11, His grace will empower us for every task He assigns us to. Whatever God tells you to do, He will empower you to do it. Under 11, I'm just going to tell you some more things He's going to do for us. His patience will hold us through the trials and tribulation. He will impart knowledge to our mind the moment we need it, and wisdom of how to act on that knowledge. Wisdom and revelation are going to be increased and guide us through the time we're coming to. We are God's rescue team. We are God's rescue team. Now, that's what He gave us 2 years ago. Can you see any of those areas that He's been working on us in and how we're growing in those areas? I can. Like I said, I want to go back to number six. In order for all this to happen, we have to break the mirrors of our self-image. We have to go beyond the limited way we see ourselves, see the true image of who we are in Christ, and even more, who Christ is in us. I thought I brought it up with me. Hold on, I'll get it. I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And not only are we going to work on our self-image, that's just where we're going to start. 2 Peter chapter 1 is full of the promises of power of God to change and transform our life. It's all right there in that first chapter, in that first section, and we're going to open that up and dig into it. But I want to teach you something about getting all you can get out of the Bible too. Don't just read it and take face value. Ask God to open things up to you. So what we're going to do this morning is stay on verse 1. Just verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. We're not even going to finish verse 1 yet. We're going to stop right there. Peter knew who he was. He knew who he was, and he announced it. Why? Why would he walk in a room and say, hey guys, I'm a servant of Christ and an apostle? Why would he do that? Because your title comes with a job description. And if people know who you are, they're more inclined to listen to what you're saying that fits who you are. That's what I believe God wants you to own, is who you are in Christ. And begin walking with that announcement in your heart. Now, I'm not saying you have to tell everybody who you are, but sometimes it does help. Let's just say you know that you're an intercessor. You know that you're someone who prays for other people. And you might do that mostly in your closet at home and think, well, they don't even need to know I'm praying for them. But how effective would it be to you, Glenn, I'm going to pick on you, if somebody walked up to you and said, hi, I'm a prayer warrior of Christ. Now, if he's got a need, he's going to be thinking, wow, a prayer warrior of Christ? I wonder if they'd pray for me. You can find out more needs of people. God can open the door for people to let you pray for them because you know you're a prayer warrior. Amen. You're a prayer warrior. Anybody ever felt like a prayer warrior when you're praying? I mean, do you sit in your closet and go, God, I sure do hope you'll do something for my grandson? Is that how you pray when you're alone and get caught up in the Spirit?
No.
Somebody, anybody, tell me. If you ever get warrior spirit come on you when you're praying? You, what do you do, Judy? What do you do when you get like that? Do you stay in your chair?
Sometimes.
You ever get up and run around?
Sometimes.
You ever get up and act like an Indian? Janai and I got up and acted like Indians back in Flint. You remember that? Oh my goodness, you would have thought we were by a campfire at an Indian site having a war dance. We were warring. I mean, we were hooping and hollering and jumping around, and I've danced over Africa. Every place I touched, I knew God was going there and doing something. Now, when you meet somebody and you know you're a prayer warrior, and you tell them, hi, I'm a prayer warrior, act like you know it. And you know what? You don't have to say it every time you meet someone. But if you'll say it to yourself, you will act different before that person. I mean, if you walk up and say, hi, I'm Janiah Smith, and inside you're going, and I'm a prayer warrior. You're saying it inside yourself. Now you look at that person and you say, how are you doing? You know, and they go, oh, I'm really having a bad day, you know, because I got this pain in my hip. And you're going, I could pray for that. Now, there's no doubt going, oh, I don't know if I should. Because you just announced you're a prayer warrior. You're ready to jump on that. If you'll announce who you are, you'll be ready to act like who you are.
Amen.
If you know that you have prophetic gifting of God, I know that, and it doesn't move like everybody else's all the time. I mean, it's not like I walk up to you and God tells me all your secrets. Sometimes he does, but not always. But if you, let's say you have that gifting where God tells you what's going on in people. Sometimes that happens. If within yourself you're saying, hi, I'm Sue Hampton, and I have prophetic gifting. And inside me, I know God's going to tell me things about you, so that I can minister effectively to you. And if I walk up with that thought in me, I'm a prophet, and I'm about to meet somebody. I'm expecting God to awaken the prophet in me and tell me something about that person so I know how to help them.
Exactly.
If you'll learn to say to yourself, this is who I am. Now, you're multifaceted just like your God. There's a lot of things you are. Paul said, I'm a servant and an apostle. You know, I think he put servant out there first because he didn't want to look like he was boasting. You know, today there's so many people that go, I'm an apostle. And we go, what does that word mean? I don't even know if they know, but they like the title. But if he put out there first, I am just a servant of Christ and an apostle. Now, what is an apostle? They plant works. They start churches. And they have authority over ministries. It gives them, if you were to walk up to a doctor, I mean, you don't know you're meeting a doctor, but a guy says, well, hi, I'm Dr. Brown. Oh, really? You're a doctor. Now I have an expectation that you know something
right.
About medicine.
Right.
Not because you're proud or arrogant, but because I know you've studied. You've been to college. You've learned how to be a doctor. I might have a medical question to ask you. If you tell me I'm a minister, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, I'm a Christian teacher, I am a prayer warrior, then I expect now that you might know something about that category. That's why you need to know who you are. So that it is announced, whether verbally or whether in your actions and the things you're going to do, because you know who you are. It's time we know who we are and begin walking in that. How many of you absolutely know who you are in your calling in Christ? You absolutely know some things. You may not know everything, but you know something. You know a little bit about who you are. Okay? Then announce what you do know. Maybe you don't know everything yet. There was a time that I was a deaf interpreter. Now, if I walked up to a deaf person, I said, "Hi, I'm a deaf interpreter at my church." Now they know they can talk to me. I understand them, right. Supposedly. I really didn't, though, because I go too fast. I was better at doing it than understanding it. Actually, sometimes I didn't tell them because I was scared they would talk to me and I wouldn't know what they said. I was like, my main sign was slow, slow, do that again, slow. But we need to know who we are in right. Christ. And we are a lot of things. We're multifaceted. Maybe you're a comforter. You know, people underplay that word. If I believe Roxanne is a comforter. When somebody is grieving and hurting, Roxanne will start crying. She wants to hug them, don't you? See, she wants to give comfort to people. God is a comforter. Comforting is a major, major channel of ministering somebody into the presence of God. You feel God flow in you when you're comforting them. That's an awesome gifting. Now, what if I'm sitting over here and my mother just died and I'm grieving and somebody like Roxanne sees I'm looking sad and she walks up and says, "Hi, I'm Roxanne, and you know what? I am gifted in ministering the comfort of God to people who are hurting. Would you like God to touch you right now?" See, if you let them know that, it's not like a stranger just going, "Hi, I'm Roxanne, can I hug you? Ah, why would I let you hug me?" But if you tell me you're sent by God to bring me his comfort, maybe I can open up to you. Everybody won't open up, but at least let them have the offer of knowing who you are. And knowing who your God is. You know, sometimes we're afraid to tell people who we are in Christ because we're afraid they know us too well and they're going to say, "Are you kidding? I know all your sin. I'd watched you 5 minutes ago doing something that I consider wrong." You're not selling yourself. You're offering them Christ and who he is in you. And if they say something, let them know, "You're right, I'm a sinner. I want to talk to you about him. He's perfect. Let me tell you about him, not about me. I'm telling you who I am because he does this through me for people. Not because I'm any better than you. I'm still a sinner. But this is what he does through me for people." Amen. And you have a gifting too, and he wants to do something through you.
Right.
Everyone has a purpose. He didn't make anyone just to reject them. Everyone has a purpose and a calling and a gifting. He does not say, "I am Peter, the fisherman." He doesn't announce who he used to be. He announces who he is. Peter was a fisherman. I think I just said my whole first page without ever looking at it, so let me catch up to myself. Let me just catch up. Where am I going here? Number two, Peter knew who he was sent to minister to. He knew his jurisdiction. If you're called to America and you're trying to go preach in Africa, it's not going to work for you unless God said, "You know, I have one mission for you." If you're called to minister to Grand Rapids and you go down to Kalamazoo and try to minister everybody there, unless he has sent you there in a mission, it might not work.
That's right.
You need to know who he sent you to.
That's right.
Now, Peter went to a lot of people, but he went primarily to Gentiles, not to Jews. Though he was a Jew, God sent him to the Gentiles. We need to know who we're sent to.
Right.
I know that I am primarily sent to Christians. I'm primarily sent to Christians who have a deeper hunger to become warriors for God. My husband is an evangelist. He also ministers to Christians, but he's got a heart for the lost. I mean, he goes out there every day telling everybody how to get saved. Every phone call, he's going to try to get them to Christ for salvation. He has a call to lay down the basics of Christian living for them. I can't do that. I can't go in beginner's class and talk about this is how you get saved, and then you go to church, and then you pay your tithe, and then you be faithful, and then you read your Bible every day. That's, to me, like, I'm not a repetitious person. I like to dig in and say, open up something new. Open up deeper meanings to me. I love that he loves to teach basics because everybody needs to get saved and learn the basics. What is your gifting? What is your message? And who are you sent to? Who are you sent to? Who will God empower you to? Glenn, to everywhere, everybody at his job, everybody on that bus, everybody on the street waiting for the bus. He knows the people that God has given to him right now. Who has he put in your life? You've got family, you've got friends, you've got neighbors, you've got your church family. But know who he wants you to minister to, because then you can learn things about them. You can pray that God reveals exactly what they need next and how you need to pray for them and what you need to teach them or give them or do for them. So we can't pray specifically if we don't even know who we're sent to. What he came to tell, Peter, what he came to tell was very different in 2 Peter chapter 1, which is awesome. This message is to believers. This message is to serious believers. It's not to the lost. It's for us, and we're going to dig into it. There's a lot of things we're going to see there. Now, there are times God will send you somewhere different. You know, so I'm not saying you can't be sent out to other areas. Sometimes that's part of your call, is to have a certain message and take it different places. How many people do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I have 15 copies. I'm going to give it out in stages. Now, before you write on this, do not write anything until I tell you what to write, because your mind is going to go to wanting to confess, I'm a sinner before I met Christ. That's not what we're looking for. We already know that. We're looking for something different. So, one of you guys want to hand these out? One of you younger guys that jump up easily want to hand this out? All right, Hudson's going to do it. I don't know if I got one for myself. It'd be good if I did. I think I do. Yep. And if you need a pen, Harvey's got about 20 of them over here. If you need a pen, raise your hand, and we'll send somebody else around with a pen for you. My hope is that when you leave here today, you'll have at least one strong, positive statement inside of you that you're going to announce at least to yourself when you leave here and keep telling yourself so that you'll walk in that. Maybe more than one, but at least one. It's nice if you know more than one, because then whoever you're meeting, that one can rise up in you and you know which hat to put on for that encounter. My dad was a person who loved to dress up, hunting clothes, painting clothes, take out the trash jacket. I mean, he had a jacket and a hat for everything, you know. He literally brought to life, you know, what hat are you wearing for what you're doing. So if you know more things about who you are, you can announce yourself with the right hat. So the very first section here, we're getting some participation today. In section one, would you like to do it too? Take one for yourself. In section one, knowing who you are, what title would you give yourself? You know what? When I went to the second part of Peter, I didn't read the rest of that first verse, did I? Would you read that? Verse 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's where he announced who he was speaking to. All right, so this question, knowing who you are, what title would you give yourself before you met Jesus Christ? I am not looking for, I was a sinner, I was a liar, I was a thief. No, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking more at how you saw yourself, even in the good things, like I was a carpenter, I was a teacher, I was, you know, all the things that can announce who you thought you were. Not in your sin, but in your life is who you are. I was a mother. I was, I'm trying to look around the room, remember what anybody was. You know, handyman, he was a handyman. Harvey was a salesman. He was a college student at one time. I was a waitress, really bad one, but I was a waitress. I was a hairdresser. I used to own a beauty shop and do people's hair. I wasn't so good at that either. I wasn't very good at anything I did, actually. But I did try a lot of things. I was an author and an artist. I did write books. I threw them all away when I got saved. I did paint pictures. I threw them all away, too. Everything I did before I got saved, I threw away. But I did do some of the things that were really what was my calling were there. Some of the dreams of what I wanted to be were there. I would say I wanted to write and I wanted to paint. That was the main two passions in my heart. You can do that too. Make a little line from what you did do into the things you wanted to do, hoped you would do. What did you dream about being when you grew up? What did you want to be? What would have been your title if you could have been anything? I wanted to be a journalist. See, my real dreams, I got to be an author and an artist and a journalist. I got those three things with God. It's very cool. Now the next section, I want you to do it two ways. What title would you like to have since you met Christ? Any of these, you can check the box of titles you would like to have, whether you think you're qualified or not. Check everything you really think you would love to have as your title. And then, the ones that you already know you do have, I want you to circle them. You can circle the whole word or just circle the little box. It's easier. You know, I enjoyed dancing this morning because I've been announcing to myself who I am. And I remembered, I am a dancer for Jesus. So I had fun dancing today. There's also a couple of empty boxes. If you want to write something in, you can. I mean, you can see I have a lot of answers there that came from who I want to be. So maybe I missed some of the things you want to be. So feel free to write them in. Now, if we are going to walk in who we really are, not who we feel like today, not who we look like to other people, not what we know we're called to be, but we feel like a failure. Lullaby, get down. Look at her. Look at her. She's climbing all over the drums and cymbals. She's getting down. She got the message. But who you know down inside, you know. This thing, this word, this one that you checked and circled, it does something in you. It's like you just know you want that to be part of who you are. You know that. I didn't put Watchman. Please write in Watchman. I'm looking over there at some and I had realized I didn't write Watchman. Anybody see any other words I missed that we should write in?
Pastor.
I didn't write pastor. What am I thinking? Pastor.
Church planter
would be an apostle. Administrators would be like organizers. What? I do. I have visionary, which is prophet. On second row, third down, that should say prophet. Visionary / prophet. Now, who thinks they're ready to walk in life at least announcing to yourself who you really are? Anybody? Want to do that? Want to? Willing to? Right now? I mean, you're in a safe place right now. You're in a safe place right now. Could you pick one? One. Pick one that you're willing to stand up in this room this morning and say, I am a. Pick one. Whichever one comes on your heart, the strongest right now, may not be the strongest tomorrow, but it's the one right now that you want to announce. Maybe the one you need to be convincing yourself of. That's for mine, since I said I'd start a blog and I haven't written a word toward it. I just keep avoiding it. So I need to say, I am a writer. I am God's writer. I am God's author. Because I'm having a hard time kicking that off going public. I need to learn to say that. Well, I'm going to go around. Yeah, I don't like putting people on the spot. So if you are willing to give me one announcement, one thing of you, who you know you are, please stand. Those who stand will let you do that. The others don't have to. Jackson. Cool. Janaya. Say it. I am a worshiper. All right. Glenn.
Shepherd.
I am a shepherd. Harvey.
I am a close friend of Jesus.
Yahoo. I love that one too. Judy. Jealousy's kicking in. Judy. Loud. I am an intercessor. Awesome. Okay, this is an easy room to say it in. But sometimes the one that God is wanting to stir up in you right now is the one you're struggling with, claiming. So also find that one and go out this week and begin saying it. Begin claiming it. Look in your mirror in the morning and say it. I am a writer. He has called me to write. I will write. I'm going to write. I don't care if I get criticized. Say what you need to say. Tell yourself who you are, what you're moving in, what God's doing in you, and then go out and live that. Go out and live it. Part two is who are you supposed to minister to? Is the next page. And we need a passer outer here again. Hold on, wait a minute. That might not be the right page.
Is that the right page?
Yeah, it is.
What was that?
Yeah, that is the right page. This is the last one. I just didn't have mine in the right order. When you know who you are, and you know who you're ministering to currently, it really increases how. We need to get our eyes off ourselves. We need to just stop saying, what about me today? What do I get today? What do I need today? What am I going to do? We need to find out who we're supposed to minister to. You don't have to do all this right now, but this is a list for you to think about. the closest people in your life, your family, your friends, your neighbors. The outreaches in your life, people you work with or meet and have an influence on. And then the people you would like to minister to. For instance, if you're called to Africa, you can begin listing those names in Africa, even though you're not there yet, because you can pray for them. Or you can send money to them, or you can support them somehow. I want us to learn how to see answers to our prayers. I had this little vision. There's one more. There's another stack right there. Pass those right out now, too. I had this little vision with God that really made me want to pray. I kind of saw it like when I began to speak in prayer, Father, I want to lift up my grandson, Trent. It was almost like the Holy Spirit was coming right up to catch my breath into his spirit and go with it to Trent. To go right to, like he was right there wanting to catch my every word, my every breath, like it was releasing him to go and do something in Trent. Now, if we know that, because it's true, and if we believe it, we wouldn't say, well, I already prayed for him. No, we want to send God there again, right? Go there again. Let's nag. Let's nag some people in the spirit. Our husbands don't like it, but God does. God likes it. So, I mean, what if every time I breathe the name Trent, God goes and works on Trent? Trent, 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 Trent. God, go get him, you know? Every time you speak that name, every time you say, God, please touch his heart. God, please go to him and put somebody in his life. Bring a witness in his life that he'll listen to. Lord, did that get passed out? Yes. There's so many there. Okay. Oh, I know. It's because there's a different one under it. Don't worry about it. Knowing that our prayers stir the Spirit to work in someone will cause us to pray more. So what I want you to do... What? He needs one? Oh, they're over there. If you want to see results, then ask God for a specific name and write that name down and then ask God what you need to pray specifically for that person. And write that down. Record the date that you prayed it. And keep praying it and keep praying it. Record the date every time you pray it. And one day you'll be recording the dates that you're seeing results. And that will encourage you to see the results to your prayer. Now, I had an uncle I prayed 30 years before I saw a result. But I still had it written in one of my Bibles when I began praying for him. So that's very encouraging. You know, we have notebooks here. And if you would take one notebook and just make it your prayer journal, nothing else, just your prayer journal. Take this illustration, this example I gave you, and write the name, what you're praying. In fact, you could put the name of one person at the top of a page and the date that you began this. And then every time you pray for them, generally, this is what I prayed about, date it. This is what I prayed, date it. This is what I prayed, date it. You've got a journal on each person you're praying for with the date that you prayed different things. And pray what God leads you to pray for them. And you can pray out your heart of what you want him to do. But when you pray exactly what he leads you to pray, just spend a few minutes saying, God, what do I need to pray for this one today? What do they need? And you will begin to get excited because you'll see answers happening. And that will encourage you to pray more for people. Now, you can go see him, you can go talk to him, you can do whatever, but this, most everything God does is preceded with prayer because he's preparing them before you go to them, before you ever get there. So I just want to encourage you to walk in who you are, announce it to yourself, and if it's appropriate, announce it to who you're speaking to, and find out who you're sent to. Begin thinking about them. Find out everything you can find out about that person. Because they are your ministry. You need to know their needs. You need to know their weaknesses. You need to know how to minister to them. And it will build them up, but it will build you up. Because you know you're doing what God has called you to do. Are there any questions, comments, or anything? Because... I'm going to move on if not. Don't go too far. Well, you have something to say before I go too far? Oh, okay. I'm not going too far. But I want to throw a challenge out. Harvey and I were talking about how church could be different. We know God wants to do things different. We just don't know what different is, so you can't fake it and make it happen. But we know that things need to be different. We want God to get out of the box. We're always saying that, right? And then we just keep sitting in the same box. And we want to give God open doors to do anything he wants to do. Would you begin to pray? Would you begin to pray and ask God to show you some things we could do different? That if there's different things God would like to do here, bring some ideas in. And one thought we had was, let's talk to young people. Young people, you know, they're more sensitive to new things because they're not stuck in any of the old ones. So talk to young people. Ask young people, do you go to church? Where do you go? Do you like it? What do they do there? How is it different? Ask them, how would you like to see it be different? If you were going to do a church, what would you do? Talk to some young people, because sometimes they just wake us old people up, you know, and give us some good ideas. Harvey and I come up with some ideas this morning. You might not like them, but we'll hold them to ourselves and give you a chance to pray and kick out some of your own. Otherwise, we might be, you know, sticking needles in your nest and poking you a bit to do some new things. But you're allowed to talk out loud. Go ahead. I'm not your interpreter. And you don't need a microphone, so go right ahead and say it.
I don't need one.
No, you don't.
Do you want what God wants?
Yes.
Do you want to just keep coming here every week and just sitting here? I'm not knocking it, but I'm saying, do you understand that God wants something different? Do you know that?
Yes.
I mean, are you willing for him to color outside your lines?
Yes.
Are you willing for it to be, I mean, completely different than anything that you're familiar with?
Let's play what if. Let's play what if. You guys throw some in too. What if we said next week when you show up, we're going to carpool and go visit a different church? What if next week we said, come prepared because we're going to go to the movies together? What if when you showed up next week we said, we're going to go down to the park and cook hot dogs for whoever lives under the bridge because they might be hungry? What if we're going to go downtown, minister to the people on the streets? Can you give me a what if? Come on, let your imaginations run here.
What if God told you to bring a
message? Yeah, what if God told you to bring a message? Give me some what ifs. Come on. Come on. Kick in imaginations here. Judy. There you go. What if God told us to go to a nursing home and do the service there? Or a prison?
You know, through the years, God's had me do all of those things. All of those things God's had me do.
They're not even new and different yet.
Right. But, see, I see church being completely different than what we're